Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and from our suffering, dying, and ever-living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the Old Testament reading for today, made famous, of course, by Handel in his Messiah. We live in a world in which there is little peace. All you have to do is turn on the news and find out that there is anything but peace in our world. Ever since 9/11, there has been a lack of peace in our world, the longest war we've been in. We went into Afghanistan, we're still winding up that particular fight. And the Israelis need their space, but so do the Palestinians, and so they are at odds with each other. Where can we stay? Where can we live? And you can go to Syria, we can go to Rwanda, Sri Lanka, Kosovo, Vietnam. World peace is hard to find because of all the troubles in all those places which we have seen over the years. And even here in the United States, it seems as though that every night we find another school shooting or another shooting in a place where there are people, like a mall or in a store or even out on the streets. And sometimes we hear of a certain tragedy where somebody is in their house, in their bedroom, and because of a stray shot by someone out on the street, a little child is killed by a bullet. There is no peace. And even families have their problems too. It is said that about 40% of marriages in the United States today wind up in divorce. Husbands and wives have arguments, and sometimes they turn ugly. And if you want to, you can even talk about the killing of unborn infants. People want to have the right of choice, and so sometimes a child who is in a woman's womb is aborted, and that child is killed. However, it's not something new. All you have to do is go back to the days of the Roman Empire. What is interesting is that the people were afraid that the Roman Republic would die if Julius Caesar became the head of the government, that he would become a dictator. And so a plot was hatched to get rid of Julius Caesar. And of course, as you know, on the Ides of March, Julius Caesar was killed. The only problem is that after the Civil War, which followed, was over, The great nephew of Julius Caesar, his name was Caesar Augustus, and he was the first emperor of the Roman Empire. Kill Caesar to make sure the Republic lasts. They killed Caesar and the Republic died. The emperor, Caesar Augustus, who was in power when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And speaking of Bethlehem, you can think of David, the city of David, and David had his problems. His own son Absalom tried to take the throne away from him, and it wound up that his own son was killed. So David had his problems with his family. Of course, David was a murderer himself, but that's another story. And then we go to Bethlehem and we hear about Herod the Great. The Romans thought he was great. That's how he got his name. The only problem was that he was very jealous of his place as king of the Jews, as he proclaimed himself. And when he heard about the birth of another king of the Jews, he tried to have children 2 years of age or under in Bethlehem killed. Peace? No, there is no peace. Isaiah had a different story, though. Isaiah said this in his chapter 9. The people walking in darkness have seen the great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, the light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and we will be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will do that. This was written by Isaiah around the time of Hezekiah, the king of of the southern kingdom, the king of Judah. Hezekiah was a good man. He was a good king. But he could not do all the things that Isaiah talked about, the everlasting father, the prince of peace, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He couldn't do that. You see, no earthly king could bring about the peace of which Isaiah was speaking. If you want to read a good short story, read Earth's Holocaust by Nathaniel Hawthorne. It's a story of people who decided that they had had enough of the bad things in this world, so they decided to get rid of all the bad things in this world. So they started a fire. And in that fire, they tossed all the guns, the ammunition, the bombs, and the bad philosophies, and the all the bad things that you could think of this world, all the drugs and all the alcohol and everything. They burned it. And pretty soon, everybody got the idea, let's get rid of this and get rid of that. And some people didn't like what this philosopher said, so they threw his stuff in there too. And pretty soon, virtually everything that you could think of was in this burning fire. And some people said, my goodness, what's going to happen? Is the world going to come to an end? There was one man who was in dark clothing, sitting off to the side of the crowd that was gathered. And his eyes were red, redder than the fire that was before them. And he says, don't worry. Don't worry about all the things that they have destroyed, because they will all come back. They cannot eliminate everything permanently. And one person said, why in the world is that? The man with the dark eyes and the red glow in them said, the one thing that they have not put into the fire is the human heart. And that little story is telling exactly what the Bible says and exactly what Jesus says. It's not what goes into a man that defiles him, it's what comes out of a man that defiles him, because out of the heart come murders, adulteries, and all kinds of evil things. You see, what needs to change is our hearts, not our world. The world could use change, no, there's no doubt about that. But the first change has to take place here in the heart. As a matter of fact, Jeremiah says, you know what? I made a covenant with these people, and they managed to mess it up. But I'm going to make a new covenant with these people, and I'm going to take my law, and I'm going to write it in their hearts. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. So the idea of peace only happens when the Prince of Peace comes to us. That is when we recognize that because of our lack of peace in our hearts and in our lives and in this world of ours, where there is no peace, that what is necessary is for the Prince of Peace, Jesus, to come. And he came to take the sins of the world upon himself. All the evil that is out there, he took upon himself. All the evil that's in your heart and my heart, he took upon himself. You see, we have wars and rumors of wars within our own heart. There are things that we hate, justly or unjustly. There are things we don't like, justly or unjustly. And because of the evil that is in the world and in our hearts, Jesus came and he died on the cross. The Prince of Peace knew no peace on that cross. He knew no peace on that cross so that he might take the punishment that you and I deserve, so that because of Easter morning, we can have peace. Because when he died on the cross, he conquered sin, he conquered death, and he conquered the devil. He conquered them all, and because of his victory, you and I have peace. We have a benediction at the end of the service. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's one of many benedictions that are used. The peace of God is there for you and for me. Not because of who we are, but because of who Jesus is, because of what he has done. And so when two or three are gathered in Jesus' name, he says, there am I in the midst of them. He is there to give us his peace. You and I are going to have troubles in this world. There will be times when we are not at peace because of the world around us, because of the problems that we are having within our family, within our work, or within our home, or wherever. We're going to have problems. There will be times we won't have any peace. That's when Jesus comes and says, fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. You can have peace because you are not alone. Jesus is with you. He is with you in your heart and in your mind and in your life. And so, in Isaiah chapter 11, he says this. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of God. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, but with righteousness he will judge the needy, with justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. Jesus is there with his love, with his righteousness. And by his grace, he gives us peace, peace of heart, peace of mind. May the peace that Jesus gives to us, think about that. And into the days of your trouble, remember that Jesus is there with his peace for you. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.